Canada. For Rheem hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water, Rheem is Australia's favourite. Install a Rheem.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Good afternoon and welcome to Triple M football here at Etihad Stadium. Game today, Essendon and St Kilda. And I know all games this weekend have paled into insignificance with regards to the passing of Phil Walsh. And, of course, everyone is still grieving through that process in their own different way, whether they are connected directly to the Walsh family themselves or the Adelaide Football Club or someone that has met Phil Walsh along the way as well. I welcome the team, Wayne Swass, Wayne Carey, and Jay Clark. Jay-Z is also with us, as Tua will join us a little bit later on. So will the push-up king, Jakey King. Swatter, welcome to you.
Welcome, boys. Look, we've had some good contests, but I guess the shadow over the top of everything, and we've been reminded of it before the game, Jay-Z, but also, I think, poignantly after each game, and that's been the teams coming together in a show of respect and, I guess, expressing our condolences and sympathies to the Walsh family and going through something that, you know, we can't imagine.
I've been blown away by it, to be honest, fellas. Just the class that the clubs and the players in particular have shown with that tribute after the end of the game. And it started on Friday night with Nathan Buckley and Alistair Clarkson. And no one's surprised that those two guys got together and started all this. But it's we nitpick a lot of the time, don't we? We hang it on the clubs, on the league and all that sort of stuff. But I just reckon we owe these guys a big pat on the back for the class, which they've handled this tragic incident this week, Duck.
Yeah, absolutely. Been handled with class by all the footy clubs. And, you know, I must say that, you know, having spoken to a few people that have been really close with Phil, and we're from afar, we only knew, I think we're all the same, that we knew Phil, we'd met Phil a few times, but from a distance, and how it's affected us. So how those people really, really close to him and how they're handling it right now, you know, my thoughts go out to them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay-Z. The world of AFL football has been classy in the way that they've handled this. It's just been with a little bit of prompting from the AFL initially, and then the clubs and the players and the game has grabbed it. The media people, the public have grabbed it and made it their own, haven't they, really?
Do you almost have to go back to Darren Mullane when he died at Collingwood? He was a good friend of yours, BT, and you're at the club the year before. Can you give us some insight into how the players handled that tragic event at the time and perhaps relaying that to Adelaide, how on earth they can pick it up and play footy next weekend?
Well, that was slightly different in that it was just out of season and a lot of players were away. I know that I was with three or four players up at, I think, Dunk Island when we heard the news. But in terms of the way the footy world handled it, it was quite different because it was out of football, so we didn't have the arena and the game to use to be able to honour Darren Mullane. So I reckon there was a lot more media talk about it. Oh, well, there's been a lot about this, but there was a lot in the media. I know the Herald Sun sold an incredible amount of copies because people wanted to own something, wanted to have something that celebrated the life of Darren Mullane at the time. I remember the funeral in Dandenong. I don't think there's ever been anything like it ever. It was just absolutely amazing. And from the player's point of view, it affected everyone differently. As you said, I was really close to him. And, you know, guys like Dennis Banks and all of these guys were really, really close. It had a profound effect, not just on them for that period of time, but it still affects them. I still talk to a guy like Dennis Banks and guys that were really super close to him. And it still affects them greatly, greatly.
That's it.
They talk about it often. Right now, you know, how long ago was that?
91?
Yeah, 91, yeah.
It's going to be a huge test for the playing group, I think. The funeral won't be this week, it might be next week. That's, I think, what we're hearing, Duck.
Well, we spoke to Mark Rusciuto yesterday on the Rub, and he indicated, I think, about Thursday, thereabouts, next week.
Yeah. So it's a hugely emotional time for the players. And Adelaide confronts West Coast, of course, where Phil Walsh also had a massive contribution there at the Eagles. So that's going to be a hugely emotional game next week. And I think our sympathies are with the players, are getting around each other. And just how it's going to be interesting to see how they can muster that competitive force on the field for the rest of the season.
I've never met him. I've listened to him a couple of times, heard the interview coming in on Friday with the chairman. I've got to say that in an unprecedented situation, the way that Rob Chapman and his CEO, especially Rob, have handled the situation has been nothing but outstanding. It's been empathetic. It's been very caring. But the quality of the man, I mean, that club right now, given the situation, could not be in better hands.
He was good and has been good. And what about that? So he's got the connection with one of the commissioners of police over there. He's got that entered on his iPhone with her name. Mm. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings and the name pops up. And you immediately, what would he have been thinking right at that moment? He would have been thinking player, probably, you know, trouble, maybe, whatever. Just, you can't imagine. And then to compose himself enough to ring three or four people, get them into the club at 4 o'clock in the morning. They sat there for an hour or two contemplating and figuring out how all this could happen and what they're going to do next. And even our great mate Mark Rusciuto knew about it about when the same time and went on air and didn't tell anyone and wanted the family to be informed before anyone else was.
Yeah, absolutely. They would have been in absolute disbelief. To have that composure and be able to think your way through that is unimaginable. I will say, though, BT, on Friday night, for the first time for that day, and like I said, we're a distant relationship, was the first time once that ball bounced that you didn't think about it for 30 minutes.
You're able to engross yourself.
Exactly right. And I think that the players, as tough as it'll be next week to play Schwatter, that'll be the time that their mind for that for a week will go somewhere else.
Yep.
And then straight after the game, it'll go back. Yep. But that's why this game is so good. That'll allow them to at least take it out of their minds for a little while.
Great to see the NRL respecting it as well.
Everyone, all sports.
Yeah, internationally as well.
Yeah, it wasn't also the Australian
cricket
NRL.
Team.
Yep. We had a special guest come into our box on Friday night.
We did.
Who made a point of it as well, which I thought was very classy too, BT.
We did, and I think we've got that audio grab. This was
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, $100 million contract, right?
Carolina Panthers quarterback.
He just oozes gold diamonds, doesn't he? You know, and you think, big Yankee sports star coming out to Australia, won't give a stuff about what's going on in Australia. Not only did he love our game, but have a listen to this towards the end of that interview.
Can I say something?
You can do what you want.
I like to say I was heart stricken by the news, and I was saddened to hear about Mr. Phil Walsh.
Yep.
My hearts go out to his family. Very traumatizing to hear such a story. A man that was well respected in this community. My hat goes off to him.
Thank you. Very well said.
And that was from a guy that didn't know him, but he understood. And
that was unsolicited, BT. Unsolicited. Completely off the cuff from Cam.
Mark Rusciuto on the Rub yesterday had this to say about the next phase in this regarding coaching.
I think what you've got to do, Damien, in a time like this is not make too much change.
Yeah.
And we've got line coaches there. We've got development coaches who can step up. Nobes is footy manager anyway, so he can oversee the whole lot. I doubt whether he'll be the head coach, but he'll have a very, very significant role to play. But that'll all come out tomorrow. All that wheels in motion there, and I don't think that'll be a big issue. Everyone will just have to step up a little bit and take over. But we don't want to change too many people's roles, because that's when you're going to get confusion and you know, different voices, different players, and that'll be a mess.
Mark Rusciuto yesterday. Jay-Z, you've been able to find out a little bit more information about what Roo said.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge change for the Adelaide Football Club, but I think midfield coach Scott Campbell-Reilly is going to be the man to take over this footy club for the rest of the season. I think David Noble, the head of football, is still going to have a massive role to play supporting him and the rest of the coaching
as
group.
As a senior assistant type?
Partly, yeah. I think that he'll oversee the operations. Now, Campbell-Reilly is highly rated. He came in, I think, in 2010 under Brenton Sanderson and played a huge role sort of tightening up some of their stoppage work.
So Scott Campbell-Reilly to coach the Adelaide Crows from here on.
That's what I think, BT, and there'll be an announcement as early as this afternoon, and we're thinking it's Campo who's going to get the job.
Seb Costello has been, since this tragedy unfolded, has been in Adelaide. He is still there now. Seb, we welcome you.
Yeah, thanks, BT. And certainly, Jay-Z is absolutely right. That's been the discussion here on the ground, that Campo would probably be the man, considering there were probably a few assistants that were likely to move on at the end of this season anyway for the Crows. There was a perception that some of them were, in fact, sort of Sandow's men, if you like. So Campo is certainly one that, as Jay-Z says, is highly rated here in Adelaide and in a position to guide the team for the rest of the season.
Hey, Seb, you've been on the ground, as BT said, since this tragedy unfolded. Obviously, there's, you know, this comprehension. Is the feel within Adelaide that people are starting to slowly trying to get their head around what has actually taken place and things are slowly starting to move forward, if that's the right way?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to capture it. Certainly in the initial days, the disbelief was just the number one word that everyone was saying. How do you put this sort of senseless tragedy into words? And the fact was nobody could. So actions was the first way people dealt with it. You would have seen the scene down there at West Lakes and, you know, the way that people sort of physically came down there with their flowers and with their footy jumpers. That was their way of grieving in the initial hours. And that will, of course, turn to the Adelaide Oval this afternoon. They're opening up the gates to all and any who want to come down. The commemorative blow of the siren at 2:50 when that match was about to start. And we're also told they're going to attempt, depending on how many people they get there, but attempt to form a larger ring in the style of what, you know, you saw the Hawks and Collingwood start there on Friday night, hoping that perhaps that human chain could in fact cover the entire length and width of the Adelaide Oval.
So, Seb, I guess you wouldn't be surprised if players turned up to that bit of a kick on the Oval at 2:50 with all the supporters as well.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. The Crows have been saying all weekend that this isn't their show, that this is a move by the Adelaide Oval and the Adelaide community, but you'd have to expect that there'd be people involved with the Crows there because they'll be looking for somewhere to go, and they were all going to be at the Adelaide Oval on Sunday before this, you know, terrible tragedy took place. A few of the Crows have been coming to the scene as well. I mean, of course, legends like Mark Rusciuto, who you spoke to, he was there yesterday with his children. Josh Jenkins was also at the tribute yesterday. He quite emotional, sort of waved us waiting media away, but he just wanted to be there with the rest of the community paying his respects.
There's been an obvious sombre attitude pre and post the games that have been played so far, Seb, and that's been evident. It's been classy. It's been really well handled. But I've noticed as a commentator during the games as well, probably the exception might have been that Collingwood Hawthorn game because of the size of the crowd. But the others have had a somber celebratory act to them as well. I mean, during the game, they haven't been quite as noisy. They haven't celebrated over the top. It's been interesting to watch all that unfold.
Yeah, been really respectful, hasn't it? You can tell that footy fans around the country have certainly felt it. And it's been the case here in Adelaide. Of course, there were at least one sample game that was cancelled, but the rest of them have taken lead from the AFL. They've also had the, you know, the arm in arm around the centre circle among the local players here, the minute silence, all that sort of thing. So, yeah, the respect that you talk about and the decency of people in the way that they are responding and the way they are sympathising with the family, who, you know, I guess are at the centre of all this, particularly Meredith and Quinn, who we certainly send out support to. They'll need and they'll be getting the very best of support as we speak, and it's been great to see.
I'm told one of the people caring for Meredith, the wife of Phil Walsh, is John Anear's wife, Kim, as well, is there at the moment. So that was interesting because John Anear and Phil Walsh were also very, very close and very tight mates, both through their families and through football. Seb, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, BT.
Seb Costello from The Hot Breakfast, doing great things on Triple M each weekday morning, of which you have been doing this, Duck. By the way, how's the week gone for you?
It's been a busy week, BT. It was obviously, you know, Friday wasn't such a good day, but up early, swatter, and Howie and I, Dead Set Legends, do breakfast. It's been a bit of fun, but very sombre on Friday, BT.
And it's worth just noting as well that the Brownlow Medal will proceed as normal. Obviously, no votes from the Adelaide Crows the Adelaide Geelong game, which has been cancelled today. Both clubs will get two premiership points. It'll be interesting to see how all that washes up. But very classy from Geelong just to accept that proposal from the Crows and the AFL.
They don't play one another again later in the year, do they?
I haven't checked. I'll have a look.
The Crows.
Why do you
and
ask? Who? The reason why I ask is someone floated the idea of maybe six votes being awarded to the best on ground in that particular game. So you could double the votes in that game later in the year.
Last round at Geelong. Yeah,
round 23. Well, just a quick straw poll. How would we feel about that? That would seem fair, wouldn't it?
It would seem fair.
Oh.
You would just double the votes.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, it's possibly a good thing that Nat Fyfe is the runaway leader, but it's not a bad idea, Duck.
Well, one of my little sources just sent that through this morning to me, that may occur, so who knows.
Jay-Z, just before we leave this, was it ever a thought to abandon the round completely, do you think?
Absolutely, it was, yeah. Alistair Clarkson confirmed that on Friday morning, that there was a period of time where the whole round was up in the air.
Up until lunchtime, you know, they didn't know whether they were playing or not.
And one other option I heard was that Adelaide may well forfeit the points. It was possibly considered that they would simply just forfeit the points, knowing that this was way bigger than any premiership points.
And that's where you take your hat off to Geelong, because clearly Brian Cook's and the boys have had a role there, saying, no, we'll split the points.
I think the game and the broader industry, and I think our supporters are much better at being able to respond and respect certain situations that do tend to arise from time to time.
On the other side of the break, fellas, we're going to talk some footy about what's happened in this round of football so far. But as we go to the break, some thoughts from Taylor Walker and Mark Williams, two guys that were very close to Phil Walsh.
Obviously, we're pretty lucky to be in a footy club. It's an environment that stick together and we can lean on each other. And obviously, when we heard the news, everyone took it their own way. But it's a pretty numb feeling at the moment. Like every individual is probably taking it a little bit harder or taking it a bit different than each other. But when you lose your head honcho, hit you pretty hard.
The mums and dads that don't know anything about AFL, you know, the circumstances of his death is just horrendous, and day after day it's going to be so hard. And Quinn was overseas, and you know, it's just having five kids myself. Breaks your heart.
Just a question without notice here to you guys in the commentary box. Sook, soft, selective, selfish, self-absorbed, self-interested, at times smug. The seven S's. We're talking about a player. And over the next hour, if you'd like to have the odd guess here and there, because I know there won't be many that you probably think fit into that. It's just it's sort of my opinion.
Current player.
Current player, yeah. We're going to speak with Mark Harvey, by the way, in just a moment.
Has he played this round? Has he played this year? Or has he...
Yeah, he's played.
Played this round?
Yeah.
Victorian? Victorian player?
Yeah. Jesus. So just give that some thought.
Brown hair?
Just a little one. And by the way, just tell me why, as we wait for Mark Harvey, in Darwin, the game played last night, there were a few injuries. I think Angus Brayshaw was one out of them. They were just minor injuries. But they required scans. And within an hour of the game finishing, not only did the player have the scans, they had the results of the scans. And everyone in the footy world was informed straight away. Why is it in Melbourne, if someone falls over here today, we're not finding out until lunchtime tomorrow when we queue up down at Olympic Park, as all the media do? They've barely got a hospital in Darwin, yet they can get a scan. We've got all this medical support in Melbourne. We can't get a scan operator to turn up on a Friday, Saturday or Sunday.
Maybe they need a VIP pass here in Melbourne. Just skip the queue.
It's strange stuff. Mark Harvey, Senior Assistant Coach at the Essendon Football Club, is down on the ground, and we welcome you, Harves.
Afternoon, boys.
How's it all unfolded at your club? We've spoken to a lot of other clubs, and how are your players coping with this horrible news?
Just the football world has just changed in the last 72 hours. To see the unity and the emotion that's of what's transpired, it's been... I think it's brought everyone to the realisation that, you know, life is there to be loved in many ways. Even though we play such a competitive brand of sport, which is all about winning, but when you go through, or the industry goes through something like this, it's very hard to explain how an individual, even though you're not personally involved with Philip Walsh, it's like one of your family members is. Just left you.
Halves, it's Jay Clark here. Did you guys as a coaching group, and you guys have been under a lot of pressure this year and Hurdy for a couple of years, but as a coaching group, did you get together and just have a bit of a chat about this yourselves and take some time to discuss it yourselves?
Yeah, I think we're all in disbelief on the Friday, and not so much how it affects our team, but I think Jonathan Giles, as an example, who's on our list, he was very affected by it because he'd had an association with Stuart Walsh, and I think he was one of his mentors along the way. So he had to deal with those individual players that had a relationship with him. But we fully understand from the industry what's transpired, and it's been. I was just watching Damien Harvick after the game last night, and he's obviously come across Philip too. And you can hear the emotion in his voice, so it's touched many of us.
Joe Watson's 200th today, Halves. He's a very significant person in your football club. Has that been discussed this week or before the game? Do you sense that the players are going to lift for the occasion?
I mean, you don't want your team to be lifting on the back of a personal milestone, but reflection is that the opportunity for our team to gain some sort of establishment about or direction about what we need to do for the rest of the year, and then give ourselves a glimpse of opportunity in and around what may transpire in September. There's no doubt today is where it is, and Job has been a sensational player, and obviously over the last 3 years has been the face of the football club for different reasons, but this kid, I remember him as a kid, as an 18-year-old coming down, and how hard he had to work to be just to become a league player, and the lengths that he went to that, and then to see him go on and have the career that he has, hasn't been easy, won a Brownlow medal, and then has had to deal with this situation the last 3 years. I know what I'd be doing if I was playing the game out there with him.
Very well said, Harves. Now, you've obviously got a little bit of a problem today. Carlisle out of this side. You're probably going to have to take one of your key defenders out. Now, I've noticed Hurley is named at centre-half forward. Have you thought about hooker, or will it be Hurley, or will you try something else?
Duck, you've been in key forward for the period of time that you were. What's your recommendation?
Well, my understanding, you boys over the pre-season, actually, Hooker played a lot in that key forward position in the pre-season. So he's got the best hands at the footy club.
Yeah.
I know he's probably almost in all Australian form at full back, but I don't know. I'd throw him up there, to be honest.
That's the dilemma that we've had all week in selection, obviously knowing Jake was out. So we've trained both players up throughout the course of the week, Hurley and also Hooker, in that position. Be fair to say that we'll probably at some stage look at both of them down there. But what we also do know is that McKernan, even though he initially will be in the ruck, we might ask Joey Danaher just a little bit more to get up in and around that area as a ruckman, and perhaps even have Sean there for a longer period of time too. So we've changed the makeup of our forward line just in the last week or two, put some experienced players down there, and that trend will continue. We just need the quality supply and the amount.
Halves, is a late change for you guys. Windelick out. Howlett comes in as the sub, and Luke Dunstan the sub for the Saints. Can you tell us what's the update with Windelick? Is that his hamstring again, or what's the problem?
No, it's a shin. It's a nerve. It's an unusual one. It's just a nerve that's attached to his shin, or in between his shin and his calf. So my understanding is it's only for today, and he'll be right next week.
Hey, Halves, there's been a lot of attention, a lot of support wrapped around the players for obvious reasons, but I'm just keen because I'm wondering how the coaching group itself, and in particular James, have supported one another given the trying circumstances over the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, it's always... I haven't been directly involved in the 2 years prior to this and to walk into this environment, but it's quite unusual how you coach a group that's gone through this or still going through this, and the nature of how you go about your coaching. So I've been very mindful of how I coach just based on that. So I think in sitting back watching the guys that have been here for a period of time, as in the coaches like Hurdy and Ego, they're okay. We tend to stay away from the issue that's off the field, and just try to make sure that your group is focused. And particularly when the pressure comes on, how the players then don't become distant with the game because they've got something else that they might be thinking about. So it's all about the concentration and the 2 hours that we do play and making sure that we coach through that.
Hey, Harbs, do you have any aspirations to be a senior coach again?
No, not really. No, I'm quite content. I hit 50 the other day, Duck, so they tell me the rules change when you're 52, by the way, so you've got that to look forward to.
50's a new 40, Harbs.
Yes, well, it is, mate. So, no, I'm just quite happy doing what I am and just hoping that whatever coaching aspirations you've got left, that you're involved with a successful team, and I'm happy to do that.
Harbs, I know you have a great fashion sense, but there's a little bit of a sort of a...
Coming from the farmer at Lansfield, who wears gumboots every day, like, please.
A word out that you have a pair of sort of browny, tanny sort of suede operating shoes.
Listen, mate, I used to wear black leather pants when I was a young player off-field, and that used to get me in a lot of trouble, so... my fashion sense is stable at this particular
time. The players are a little annoyed about your shoes, man.
Got to distract him every now and then, BT.
Harbs, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Mark Harvey, Senior Assistant Coach at the Essendon Football Club there, joining us.
Go back to your seven deadly sins, please, Brian. I reckon I might have it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just go through.
The seven S's.
Yeah, the seven deadly sins.
Sook, soft, selective, selfish, self-absorbed, self-interested, smug at times.
The Faz.
The Faz.
The Faz.
For Solo, definitely not.
You sure?
No.
He's ticking them.
No, he's not ticking them.
That's a
very unfair.
There's some pretty strong words in there. There's a few names, but
well, you guys don't call it as you see it. That's
no,
the trouble.
But the one.
So if we get it right, you'll agree to the fact that we've got it right. Oh, you will endorse what you've just said. Is that right?
There might be some silence.
Okay.
I'm still racking my brain. I haven't come up with one yet because the soft one is the one that I think we've all got a little bit of some of those. But when you whack in the soft,
probably the highlight of them.
Really narrows it down.
We've heard from Mark Harvey. We've talked about the tragedy that has unfolded in Adelaide, and now we'd like to talk about a few other matters in football as well. May we start with just this game today in the Essendon Football Club, Jay-Z? It's a massive game in the context of their season. Tell us why.
Well, it's a huge fortnight, BT. Now, they haven't been quite up to the mark against the top sides over the past month, and I reckon the wheel turned a little bit last week. They have been better, but they've got St Kilda today, BT, and they've got Melbourne next week. Now, it's sort of my half opinion, half information, that if the Bombers don't go really well over the next 2 weeks...
They're on then four wins.
It could mark James Hurd's card. Ooh. So the powers that be are going to watch the next 2 weeks very, very closely to see that the effort, the intensity is there.
So St Kilda, Melbourne, in today and next week, Melbourne. Yep. And this is on the back of four losses to Richmond, Geelong, West Coast and Hawthorn, strong sides.
Yeah, you can sort of accept that. But what the club won't accept is if they surrender or fall over the next 2 weeks. So I think this next fortnight will be hugely definitive for the career of James Hurd.
So throw in North to be the third of those games. So St Kilda, Melbourne, North, who are going like bastards at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, two losses or even three losses could be defining for James Hurd. So let's keep a magnifying glass on that. They just need to respond.
Surely that's not just because of football, because you don't get sacked or you're not under pressure because of five or six bad games, Swatter. Surely that obviously there's the other circumstances which we know they don't make the eight. Well,
if they lose those games,
it's like anything, and I'll say this, I've said it a million times already this year, you do not sack a coach after one bad year, nor do you re-sign him after one good one. So let's judge James at the end of next year. Don't re-sign him beforehand. Don't sack him beforehand.
That'd be my
Let
thinking.
Him get through to the end of next year.
How could they contemplate that with the payout that would be required in their situation?
Yeah, and there could be one. Hurd's legal team are all over that. So, look, it will be interesting. He's contracted for next year. It's going to be a massive story next season if he goes into next season out of contract.
It is a completely different set of circumstances, OBT, if they... And once again, I'm saying they definitely shouldn't. James Hurd has to, he should have his whole tenure to prove whether he can coach or not. But it is a different set of circumstances if their form is poor and he's sacked off the back of that, not off the, not off obviously the program that he put them through. So where then he would have had a legal case, and I'm sure there would have all been all sorts of ramifications, BT. But off the back of the coaching, the payout would simply be your contract, not the extra herbs and spices that get thrown on top in the other situation.
Only you had that sort of contract, Duck. Extra herbs and spices.
Well, for Job's
200th. Wouldn't we love to know what they
were. Job's 200th, guys. I know there's a lot of debate about milestone games, and Sam Newman says they mean nothing. Job has been such a fine leader for this football club. Do the players lift? Do they rally around him for this game? Or does it mean nothing?
Well, no, in 2.5 hours, Jay, whether or not they lift for him. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I personally, as a player, love to play in milestone games, but that was me individually. Whether or not that was reflected by the broader group, you just don't know.
Just probably the size of the crowd, the day, the moment, has a little bit of an effect on a player.
Yeah.
I think a little.
But then 5 minutes into the opening quarter, BT, it's forgotten.
He's such a popular player and been such a great leader. The amount of respect that not only us on the outside have of Joe Watson, but that he has from his players and the coaching group, I think you'll find that there will be a BT. Well, why does Alistair Clarkson stick up a bit of paper and say, "Oh, this is what you know"?
James Hurd.
This is what you know. James Hurd said about you last week.
Because if it can, gullible.
Yes, and they're not all that some, not all that bright, and they do need a little bit of extra motivation. You shouldn't need any motivation, but if there is to be one today, it would be Joe Watson.
All right. Moving on. Prior to last night, Gold Coast had won one game, and the season was fast becoming a disaster. Yeah. News item after news item after news item. Gary Ablett steps on the field. They immediately win the game that he plays in. Coincidence? Great leadership? Where are we at with this?
Well, there has been a lot of criticism of his leadership. And then you watch him last night and you think, geez, he's a fantastic player. All the boys follow him. What leadership he showed out
in
the field.
But two distinctive leadership categories. One on-field, which has never been questioned, and one off-field. Can we separate those in this case or not?
Well, I guess we have to. But is he still the right man for the job from an overall perspective? They're going to get together and make a selection on the leadership group at the end of this season or before the start of next season, Duck. Should Gary Ablett be the man to captain this side into 2016?
Well, while ever he's playing, he's the best leader. It's as simple as that. But I don't think you can separate the two, BT. The leader is the leader, so it's on and off the ground.
But so he's good at one and not so good at the other.
That's right, and that's why he was judged, and that's why people ask questions this year about his leadership. He's never been questioned about the way his leadership on field. That's never been a question, and he showed last night.
It's been the opposite.
Exactly, and I think the great thing about Gary Ablett, he would have been sitting back, and I watched him sit on the bench when they played Fremantle, and he was sitting there, and he would have been watching Fife. In actual fact, Fife was the one that turned the game, kicked two goals. He would have been sitting there saying, "So you're now the best player in the competition." I'll tell you what, I can't. He has that sort of
33 and 3 goals.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a great performance last night, Jay-Z, and I think on field he's a great leader. We saw that last night. Help with support from David Swallow and also Aaron Hall coming back in. But the question, I guess, that you would ask yourself if you're deciding on whether or not he's the man for 2016 is the next person coming in better in the area that he's deficient? Because if he's not, then you have to keep him.
And no, he's not the 7S operator. Rodney Eade had this to say about the great man after the game.
I mean, he's a great player. So having the best player in the competition, you have asked Fremantle. Nathan Fife not playing, does that impact on them? Probably does. Certainly him playing, his presence. He didn't do a lot early, I didn't think. The thing with Gary that shouldn't be underestimated, apparently his ability to win the ball, but he actually kicks it to someone when he gets it or kicks a goal. And a lot of times we work really hard, but we make some basic errors at times where Gary doesn't make those.
Harley Bunnell also this week, fellas, was all over the front page of News Limited papers of those photographs of him allegedly taking illicit substances. Does he come straight back into the team? So he was sidelined this week for obvious reasons. If you rocket Eade, do you bring him straight back into the team next week, or do you keep him sidelined and continue to talk through these drug issues?
Well, that photo was taken 2.5 years ago. It's clearly it's an issue, and they've addressed it. It would have been a big week for him. What I was really happy about Jay-Z is that he'd trained that week, so strong enough to get out there and train. Rocket and all the boys got behind him. I think he plays next week.
The photo was 2.5 years ago, but they've just found out now. So it's a hard one to penalise someone.
Well, that's from 2.5 years ago.
It's a difficult.
And we're going to see a tightening of the illicit drug scare. There's no doubt about that. Before the end of the season, the clubs have been banging on about it, and they'll get their wish.
And just remember what I said, I think, at the start of the year, that there would be a rise in illicit drug positive tests.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a significant rise.
LA Kangaroos preview it was.
So just keep that in the back of your mind, because I reckon they're coming soon.
Are we going to talk Kangaroos at any point?
Yes, we are. By the way, who am I?
Brian Tuller?
Toby Green. It was a shocking
goodness
act.
Goodness gracious me. What was he thinking?
We spat in the direction of GWS midfielder Anthony Miles. They played together at the club 2 seasons ago. And Leon Cameron defended him in the press conference after the game. And let's hear what the coach had to say.
I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'll have a good look at it tonight. But I'd be disappointed if it did happen in a threatening way, in a way that it shouldn't happen. But I'm really confident that Toby wouldn't go down that track.
And then today, on AFL game day, Brett Deledio from the Tigers had this to say.
Pretty dirty, really. I'm not sure we need to be spitting on players. I don't really condone it. I wouldn't recommend it to any of our boys. It's pretty dirty.
It's not good. I think he didn't get it on him, but it was towards him.
And the MRP will look at this and they'll either distinguish whether he spat on him or spat at him. If he spat on him, it goes straight to the tribunal and he could be looking at matches. If he just spat in the direction, it's an automatic fine, $2,500 fine. So we think it's probably just spat at him, but a shocking act. Shocking act. I hated seeing it.
Duck, here's your chance. The Kangaroos, mate. They,
played like a team last night, BT, that had come off a bye.
Goodness gracious me. What were they thinking? They're 6 wins for the year. They've been
Who have their wins been
mediocre.
Against?
Their wins have been Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond, Essendon, West Coast, GWS. Some good ones there, but they don't win. They never do win the ones they're supposed to win.
No, they're and we've said it a lot of times now, Swatter, over the last few years. I said it after round one and everyone said you're jumping on. I said they certainly won't be winning grand finals or going deep into finals. They are mentally weak. That's their issue. It's not about talent. They're mentally not strong enough, BT, because they have too many lapses from week to week and even within a game, for me, to be a really good football team consistently. And that's it's all above the shoulders. And that's all I can say. I reckon the Kangaroos, you can't say how players think, but they would have looked at their draw and everyone's saying, the Kangaroos have got a great draw and they're going to come home with a wet sail and they're going to play final Swatter and even still a chance for top four, even though they're not even in the eight at the moment because of this draw. And then they go out and perform like that. It's a mental weakness.
Conceded 14-6 to 7-4 to the bottom place team who'd only won one game yesterday. There was no fight. There was almost an acceptance. And the bye is always a challenge, but given the fact that they've had the week off, given the week that Gold Coast have had, it was a perfect opportunity and they just couldn't capitalise on it.
The bye hasn't been a challenge for 9 other clubs.
No, I know that.
Or 8 other clubs.
Yep. Well, they've played 13 games now. They've lost 4 of them by, I think, more than 50 points. And good sides just don't. So that's interesting. Duck, you think they've been complacent off the bye. Brad's got to be absolutely fuming with that when he rolls back into the club on Monday.
The Western Bulldogs, Jay, was it just my eyes last night? They looked incredibly young.
It's an amazing what's happening at this football club, BT. And you guys have been all over it on Channel 7 Saturday Night Footy. They had 11 players under 50 games last night. That is an extremely young side. James Hurd said this week he can't have more than 7 or so. And they've got they had 7 last week. But to have 11 players under 50 games, that is a baby side. And they've knocked over Carlton and just been so impressive. They're headed for finals, I think. And it's just, along with West Coast, they're probably the big surprise pack and the new story of the
already.
Season.
They had 7 for the whole year last year.
What do they need? 4 more? Four or 5 more?
They play finals for mine. Yeah. We had to pick our 8 a week or so ago, BT, and I had them in there with their draw and with how they're going. I think they make it.
BT, what do you notice about the way they play? What is it about their play, that the manic intensity, the energy?
The movement from halfback, guys like Johannesson, Rob Murphy, there's one other, Grant.
Easton Woods having a good game.
Easton Woods, the one I'm thinking of. They've got three really good attacking halfback that take the rest of the comp on. Wayne Swass, Wayne Carey, myself, Brian Taylor, Jakey the Push-Up King about to join us as well, Jay-Z, Jay Clark, he's also here, one of your mates at the Herald Sun today, had a crack at our commentary on Channel 7 on Thursday night regarding the Sydney game and describing the tackle up there as saying the commentators referred to it as perfect. You're quite right, John, we did refer to it as a perfect tackle. Guess why?
It was.
Because that's the technique you're taught. Mm. The tackle was perfect under the technique that players are taught till today. And under the current rules today, you're allowed to tackle like that as long as you don't sling them. Mm. So what is the problem? I mean, we all understand it's an ugly look, doesn't look good, and do we want it in the game? Probably not. But at the moment, that is part of the game.
Well, Bryce Gibbs got two matches for it, and both Teddy Richards and Robbie Gray were both concussed. Does the game does now Jay Schultz have to get 2 weeks for consistency sake?
Probably.
Yeah. For consistency, unfortunately, he does. He shouldn't.
Mm. Mm.
Just like Gibbs shouldn't have. Yeah. Shouldn't have.
But put your head in the noose. That's what happens.
I think Jay Schultz is going to be particularly unlucky. I mean, I was pretty harsh on Gibbs, but, geez, I saw that tackle on Thursday night.
Once again, you saw what Buddy did the week before he got one, and then you see what Schultz is going to get.
Yeah.
That's why it's ridiculous.
And by the way, there was another tackle in the same game. He didn't swing him around, but he took him forward, pinning both arms, and rammed his head into the deck. And the player got up, and he was fine. And there was no problems with that at all.
It depends if you concussed or not.
Yeah, it depends if you get knocked out. Time now for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shit.
Have the Tigers turned the corner by winning a match they should have won, being GWS Duck?
I think they turned the corner a long time ago, BT, but they themselves would be feeling very lucky today to get out of that one. But it is the mark of a good team at three-quarter time to be looking down the barrel and then find something. Cochin, who gets criticised a lot about, or has been, about his leadership, has been sensational the last couple of weeks.
If you were Liam Cameron, what would you say to Toby Green today?
Oh, you'd be disappointed in him because, look, Leon explained it on game day on 7 this morning and said that, you know, mouth guard and all that sort of stuff. But I would be having a word to him saying, you know what, we don't want to see that sort of stuff. And but I do agree, he'll get a fine. He didn't spit on the player, but it, you know, to be doing it's just not a good look.
Did you ever see that on the field?
No, I've never seen it on the field.
Do you put a line through the Kangaroos for top eight?
No, I'm not prepared to write the Kangaroos off yet, Swatter, for the top eight, but even if they get there, they're not going to do anything. So maybe it's better that they don't.
You lived on the Gold Coast once, Duck. How hard would it be for young footballers up there to stay focused in that environment?
It is. Sorry to all our Gold Coast listeners, but in a way, BT, it's sort of a fake little world up there. You've got all your expats from Melbourne and Adelaide and everywhere else that sort of go up there and are in sort of holiday mode. It is a very different place to anywhere that I've lived before. And you know, the sun's shining and the birds are chirping, and it's a very lot of temptation, Swatter, to just go down to that nice restaurant cafe.
Sure, just something about the Duck Shoot, Duck. No waffle. Let's just get to the answers, mate. You said during the week that Bruce McAvaney is the voice of the AFL. Is that because he was the commentary soundtrack to your highlight reel?
Yes. I think he made me better, BT. Hmm.
You got 5 minutes with Harley Bunnell. What do you say to him?
Keep your chin up. Do the hard work. This may be the turning point for him. This may be the time. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. This is the kick in the pants he needs to put his head down, bum up, and train hard, and show us the talent that he's got.
Take cash, not credit cards. Anyway, let's push on from the Duck Shoot, because we've got another segment coming up. Just before you shoot, you've got a couple of tweets coming through on the 7Ss.
It's been popular on Twitter about your 7Ss and which player that might be: smug, soft, selective, etc. One says
self-absorbed.
Is it Boomer Harvey or Lindsay Thomas?
Come
now, on. Couldn't be Boomer because he's an absolute champion and we love him here about Triple M. But to Lindsay Thomas, you know, his name has been thrown up there. Josh Hill from West Coast, a very skillful player. Josh Hill, is
none
he?
Of those. You're on the wrong
neither
track.
Of them.
None of those. Tell me something I don't know is a segment where you tell us if something you don't know, strangely enough. What have you got for us, Jay-Z?
Ben Reid, in his comeback from soft tissue injuries, BT, has been consulting with one of Australia's top ballet performers, a ballet artist, a ballet dancer, in terms of his strength and conditioning, just hanging out with the ballet crew, trying to get his legs right. Ben Reid.
Another player that had this as well, that he had, you know, muscle injuries, and so he went to a ballet dancer and
shacked up.
They got it on. So let's hope.
Did it fix him?
Yeah.
Something you don't know. This week, BT, for Triple M, I had to go to the East Keilor Footy Club. Ooh. They've only won the two games for the year.
They're good club, aren't they?
Under-18s haven't won a game. Reserves obviously struggling as well. Swatter.
Who did they play?
They were playing Oak Park, who were third on the ladder. Actually, Kangaroo Colours, Peter German's old club. And I have good news, because I said to them, BT, that if they don't win, that you and I and the boys were going to absolutely smash them today. Well, I've got some good news. They drew. So they just... So congratulations, boys. Well done. Good effort. They're a very small...
When I mentioned the seven S's, is it about them?
No, it's not. It's not about them. But no, congratulations to East Keilor Footy Club for drawing with Oak Park on the weekend.
Well done, boys.
Jay-Z alluded that there's a big, strong push from all of the AFL clubs to get the illicit drug policy altered from 3 down to 2. I know that that's a big priority for the clubs. Not sure they'll get their way, Jay-Z. My understanding is that, again, it's a voluntary program, and there is a significant stakeholder group here that they'll listen to what the AFL and the clubs have got to say, but they're going to push back extremely hard, stand their ground, and they want to remain the way that it is, because they think that it's being successful, irrespective of what's happening with Harley Bunnell.
That's right. You know what we don't get, BT? It's like anything. We pick up the paper, it's all negative. We turn on the news, it's all negative. Yep. What we don't get is there's a number of players that have had the one strike, and it's something like 95% of those players have never had another one. So the program is working, but we don't hear about that.
And by the way, the Channel 9 Footy Show this week on a Tuesday, I wouldn't have thought they'd be happy about that. Tuesday. The State of Origin, I think, on Wednesday. And the Ashes on
Tuesday.
Wednesday. And then a game Thursday. So I wouldn't have thought that they'd be happy about that. But just to let everyone know, the Channel 9 Footy Show is on this Tuesday night. Tune in.
And apparently JB is caught in Bali because of the volcano.
The ash.
Volcanic
come
ash.
Can't get back. That was the other part of my story. Hey. Well, he's caught in volcanic ash.
That old chestnut.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.